And so how many people were here the last time I came in September? Would you raise your hand? All right. It's good to see you again. I bring you greetings from the U.S. There's some people who care about you that were making sure I would come back here. Some of the people who support me, it's because of you. So I want to tell you thank you. If you open, please, into the book of Galatians, you have your Bibles? Yes, you do. Chapter number 5. I will try to speak loud enough that every one of you can hear me. In Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1 through 4, I would like to read this chapter. If you have a hard time on my accent or hearing, I don't mind if you sit closer. But Galatians 5 and verse number 1 through 4, and my subject is fallen from grace. And I would like to read verse number 1 through 4. And as I'm speaking, as I'm preaching, please try to be very quiet. It's already hard because I have an accent that is a little bit strange unto you. So if you're talking to anybody else, it'll make it even harder for people to understand me. And you really have to understand the Word of God. As I was telling Miss Brown earlier, as we had a conversation of some of the challenges here in Nigeria with the gospel, because everybody thinks that they're already saved. It's a religious country. And as I was writing over there, I was paying attention unto the song, I could hear you. But a thought came into my mind that I wanted to post and to send out unto other people on my Facebook page. And if you are on Facebook, I want you to add me after we're done. Hey Shimu Kolar. But the thought was that America is not a Christian nation. America is a secular nation with Christians in it. But the kingdom that we're trying to build is not America or Nigeria. I would love to see Nigeria on the up and up. I would love to see you, if it is God's will, all be successful and healthy. That's what Brother John said. I pray that you may prosper and be in health, even as what? Even as your soul prospers. His main concern is our soul. But the truth of the gospel is what we need in order to be established in Christ and saved. The truth of the gospel is the understanding that God gives to enable us to see what our Lord Jesus Christ is saying and what is our inheritance in the gospel in God. How we, a special group of people, have been chosen by Him, redeemed by His blood, made righteous, or we've been justified by faith, and we are right with God. If the gospel is a message that has to be understood in order to be believed. It's a lot of people who believe the Bible is the Word of God who will perish in hell. Because it's not believing that the Bible is the Word of God, it's believing the Word of God that's in the Bible. It's not the memorization of text, even though that is very good, but it's an understanding. And so the Bible says that as the mouth tastes meat, as you As you smell your food, you taste it to see if it's good. Even so, the ear tries word. And so when you hear me preaching, I want you to understand as to what I'm saying. And don't just think that you know. Just because me and you use the same words as grace or Christ or the blood, it does not mean that we have the same meaning. So I want you to listen to what I have to say and not tune out. And let the Word of God get into your heart, because the Word of God is what? Truth. And if we believe on Christ as He truly is, we shall be saved. Whether you're American or Nigerian is insignificant and does not matter. He's got to have some Nigerians in the kingdom of God too. And that's why I'm here. That's why I left my home. And that's why I count it as no sacrifice at all. The things I gave up are nothing for the opportunity I have to preach unto your souls. And I would give my life to preach unto you, which would be manifested by how faithfully I preach God's word. Because actions, not talk, always speak if something has been truly believed in the heart. So, pay close attention. Let me minister unto you. I've been praying for you. And I've been praying that the power of the Holy Spirit would come down and would give us an understanding. If we see it, we shall be saved. And we will reap all of the benefits, even if our outward condition never changes. Because of the gospel, it does not promise a change of condition. When the Apostle Paul preached, he did not promise that the slaves in 1 Timothy 6, 1 and 2 would be free from their slavery. He promised that they would have contentment and godliness, which is a great gain. And he told us about another kingdom that's from everlasting unto everlasting, that cannot be stopped or changed by our social condition. The kingdom of God is not hindered by the fact that you are here in Nigeria, a poor country. Even though you children are fed up, I'm so happy for it. I want to thank Ms. Brown and honor that. I'm so happy to see you clothes. I saw one of you men had a little pot belly already. That's the Nigerian custom. I'm trying to keep mine off, easy on the rice and bread. But I want you to be saved, and the kingdom of God is not Nigeria, America, it's not in material things. It's in the soul being righteous with God and the possession of God through Jesus Christ. The gift of eternal life is not heaven. It is Jesus Christ Himself, who is in heaven, who gives us heaven. But it's not just a place with streets of gold. It's a God who reconciled me and you back unto Himself by the blood of the cross. It's a God who put away sin alone, to reconcile us and restore us to Himself. And the physical condition is insignificant if I have God. That's why I'm willing to die for your sake. Because nothing, as he and Ms. Brown were talking yesterday, can stop me from having God but my own soul. Man cannot stop you. They cannot take that away once you have the knowledge of the truth. And with that, you will prevail. You will be unstoppable. You will walk without fear. You will be bold in this world and comfortable and comforted no matter what happens unto you. I do not fear tomorrow because I know what's going to happen. I may die tomorrow. I may live in immense pain tomorrow, hit by a cane, have a heart attack or stroke. But I have no fear to come here to Nigeria, where people told me I would die, because I, as the song says, my life is not my own. To Him I belong. And as long as He belongs unto me in the comfort of the gospel, I'll go anywhere. And that's my message unto you, to get God. When you have God, you have everything. And nobody has more than you. Because Christ is all. And when you got all, you can't be lacking. So that doesn't matter as to where you are, who you are, what your name is, what your parents did unto you, what situation you are in. You can have God as much as anybody in the world. You don't have to go to America with a visa to have God. And I'm telling you from experience in America, it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. We don't have any more orphanages, but I used to work in the group homes, and we're not allowed to preach the gospel unto the children, except we do it on the side. There is no mandate to sit and hear the gospel of Christ. So in some ways, Nigeria is richer than America. If you get the true gospel on the inside, this could be the greatest nation of the world by the gospel, not by money, not by military power, not by intellect, but by the gospel. You would have God, and you have everything. Habib?
Let's go into Galatians 5, please, verse number 1 through 4. This is our subject. I'm reading out of the Holman translation. It's a little bit different, so pay attention. It's the same words, it's the same message. Christ has liberated or set us free. He has actually liberated us to be free. He set us free from the law to be free, not to go back. Stand firm then, and don't be entangled. Don't submit again to a yoke of slavery, of bondage. Don't go back to the law of trying to be justified or righteous with God by what you say and do. Take note. Listen now. I, Paul, tell you that if you get yourself circumcised, if you do anything to make yourself righteous with God, other than simply trusting Jesus Christ, Christ will not benefit you at all. What a bargain. Either we are totally righteous by faith, or we try as hard as we can and we're still unrighteous if we add anything unto Jesus Christ in faith alone. If it's anything you say or do that makes you righteous with God, you are not righteous. It's by faith alone. Verse 3, again I testify to every man. He makes no exceptions here in Nigeria. He makes no exceptions for anybody's ignorance and say, well, that's just what my mom told me. That does not matter. The gospel, it does not matter. It does not care about what you heard.
the gospel is not true to you, and you've got a gospel, I got a gospel, Paul is saying this is the gospel. If there's 100 vials of poison and only one vial that will make me whole, if I drink any of the 100, even though I'm sincere and my mom told me drink that vial, it's still cyanide poison. It's only the true gospel, Paul says. You take hold of this and you shall live. And that forever. That makes it important to listen and not just feel. It is very good to feel our religion, but our religion must be based on the Word of God. It must be truth that gets down into my soul. Not a lie, not false religion. False religion will make you happy. It will make you glad. But it will send you to heaven. The true gospel, it'll make you happy and glad and have truth on your side as an anchor steadfast unto your soul. You'll be able to defend what you say from the Bible, and the book will open to you by the spirit of understanding. The spirit of truth, he's called. Again, I testify to every man who gets himself circumcised, who does anything at all on top of trusting Christ, that he is obligated, he's under, he's mandated, he must keep the entire law. Either I'm saved by faith in Jesus Christ alone, or I got to keep all the feast days, I got to keep all of the Sabbath. I got to keep all 10 of the commandments all the time without any perfection being diminished. What that means, my brothers and my sisters, is either I've got to be good enough for God by faith in Christ, or I'm on my own. Our Lord Jesus Christ will not share. He will not mingle. It will not be your work and Christ's work added up together. Your work and Christ's work is less. It's an entanglement of a web of deceit and lies that's disgusting unto God. That's why Christ had to come down here. If there had been a law that you and I could have kept to make ourselves righteous with God, not just our neighbor. It's easy to be righteous with somebody else's eyes. They're just like you. Elihu said that we drink up iniquity like water. You're good enough for me, I'm good enough for you, but to God, it's got to be perfect to be accepted. It can't have any stain or blemish. It can't have any sin at all. All Adam did was eat one piece of fruit. And I'm sure that he didn't eat the whole thing. But once he transgressed against God, all bets were off. Everything was over. A curse came upon him. He spiritually died. He died physically, 800 plus years later. Aches and pain and arguments with the wife and hatred and the curse. Mosquitoes started to sting. And the lion became hungry for the lamb. And something had to die just to cover the blood. That's Jesus Christ, Christian. God gave his only Son as the Lamb of God to hide our nakedness and make us complete in his Son. You are perfectly accepted by God through faith in Christ.
and no other way at all. It's either Christ or I'm on my own. It's either by faith or I'm under the works of the law. And the last time I was here, I remember this. I preached on the curse being taken by Christ himself. You remember that? You do? You took it all. All of it.
So there's no more curses. And as old Balaam said, who can bless as to whom the Lord is?
I don't have a fear of being cursed by anybody on this planet. If you got every witch in a choir room, I preach unto them the gospel and sleep on a tombstone at midnight in a graveyard. I'd be more afraid of the mosquitoes pestering me than any curse of any witch. Because who gonna curse you, God bless you? That's just wasting air. And some of you have been accused of being witches. That's the reason I came here the first time. And did you know that pastors in five rooms are scared of you? What's to be afraid of? I met some witches. I actually was in a house. I was actually living with a child that was a witch. It took me a minute to figure it out, but I observed her actions towards this little smaller child. And as I became angry and concerned, I began to see that she's not just acting bad, but somebody has put it into her mind that she is a witch. And the only way to function in this world is to curse and hate people. Fire, fire, and die, die, and kill, kill. Our Lord said, if you don't know what manner of spirit you are, the Son of Man came to save us, not to destroy it. But this little girl, she could do me no harm if she didn't poison our food. If she didn't hate me enough to take up a physical action, what can she do to me? So over time, through love and prayer and faith and the gospel, she began to smile. She began to come out of her nonsense. She began to realize, as I would tell her over and over, that love is a better way. And if you have God, you don't have to be mean unto other people to protect yourself. You can love them and protect yourself. Did you know that love is the greatest way to discern other people? How do they respond if I love them? That's how I know after who they truly are. I know how people will act if I hate them. Love is the better way. And love comes from faith in Christ in the gospel, that I'm forgiven of all my sins so I can love you and I can forgive you too. I'm accepted by God so I can accept you. That's dealing with children, is it not? I have to take you as you are. Not as I want you to be. You're a child. You have to grow. And I'm here to help you. And that's how you got to interact towards each other. As friends. As children. In love. But verse number 4 is the verse I really want to tackle. This is a long introduction. You in Galatians 5:4, who are trying to be justified by law. What does that mean? To be made righteous by what you do. You are alienated. You are cut off. You are separated from Christ. It's one or the other. It's law or Christ. You who are trying to keep
the law to be righteous with God, who are trying to do something good enough constantly, you are fallen from grace.
Now, can everybody, can you all hear me in the back right there? I'm going to come down here. What is grace? You are fallen from grace. He said that grace is all that we need. What is grace? His grace is to be chosen by God from before the foundation of the world to be holy. Grace is not God waiting on you to save yourself. It's not God actually hoping that you will turn around and turn over a brand new leaf. What grace is God coming to you as a sinner because He chose you ahead of time and teaching you in your heart His gospel and dragging you to Himself and drawing you and me unto redemption. What is grace? It is God doing everything to save your soul from start to finish and leaving nothing out that He will not do. He promises you obedience. He says, I'll put a new heart in you. He said, I will cause you to keep my commandments. He said, everything I demand of you, even faith, I will do that myself for you, and I will give it to you. All of it, 100%. Not 99.9, and then you got a part. 100%. For by grace you have been saved, what? Through faith, that what? Not of yourselves. It's what? The gift of God. What is grace? Is being justified by faith. It's being made righteous by trusting in Jesus Christ. What is grace is not anything of yourself at all. If you turn, please, quickly to chapter 3, verse number 6. And if one of you young men can stand up and you can read that nice and loud. In Galatians 3:6. What does it say here?
Amen. Thank you.
What did Abraham do to be counted as righteous? Huh? And what else did he do? What's it say? Is that in the text? What's the text say, Abraham? Did he do anything else? Did he keep of the law of Moses? Did he go to church on Sunday and on Friday? Did he always wear a long skirt and never chop it? Did he have no earrings in his ear? Did he go to his mom and say, I'm sorry, I've been a bad boy or girl? Did he tell God, I'll be better tomorrow, I promise you? Did he pray real, real hard that all of his enemies would be taken away? Was he a good boy or a good girl? Is that why he was made righteous with God? Huh? Be bold now. No! It came to Abraham, you listen to me, it came to Abraham the exact same way it comes to you and me. I don't want to cut my hand on here.
filthy sinners. I'm the worst man in building.
I'm the only adult, I think, right? Is anybody over 18?
I'm the only man in the worst. Paul would say, I'm the chief of sinners, right? What was Abraham but an idolater? He worshipped those gods that were on the other side of the river, just like his parents did. That's why God came to Abraham and he said, get you up out of your country and away from your kindred and come to where I'll bless you. Our Lord Jesus comes to us by the gospel and says, repent and believe. Put your faith, all of it, in the Lord Jesus Christ, blessing you.
Oh,
blessed. You are a sinner who shall be blessed. You shall not be blessed because of you, but God, who blessed the filthy sinner for Jesus Christ. You are blessed, not because of anything you say or do at all, but because God is a blessing God. He will forgive you. He will impute or charge you an everlasting and perfect righteousness that can never change. He will make you as righteous as anybody that ever lived as soon as you do what? Is it a test now? In Galatians 6, you have to believe your eyes. I know it's too good to be true, but it is true. It says it. It's on the page. I'm not making it up. What does it say? What must you do? Huh? Please stand up for a second. To believe. Thank you, God. To believe. So you're telling me, Christian, that by doing nothing else but believing what God has to say about His promise of blessing me, I'm declared by God perfectly and totally righteous every day of my life until I die unto eternity. That's what He said.
For by grace have you been saved
through faith, and that what? Not of yourselves. It's what? It's the gift of what? God. Do you know that salvation is a gift that God gives to an unworthy sinner, a criminal, who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and he's saved? And it never changes. This is what Paul is saying, is that all the way through in your salvation experience, every single day of your life, every blessing that I ever need from God, and the blessing, as we learned up from last time in verse number 14, is the blessing of what? The Holy Spirit, who enables you and I to live the Christian life and bring glory unto God, is a free gift. I need to preach. Whew. I need to trust in Christ that I'm righteous enough by faith for Him to send me the Spirit. I need to overcome sin. I need to trust in Christ that I'm righteous enough that He can give me the Spirit to put my sin down. I need comfort. I need joy. I need peace. I need power, hope, assurance, courage, help from God. Trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. If you add one thing on that, you can't have this.
And don't know. And then that's the second point as you open into Hebrews chapter 9, please. Verse number 15.
It's all by grace. I'm preaching so hard the power turns. It is all by grace. Through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ has done two things. Can anybody tell me what are the two things that Christ has done or did by His blood upon the cross? What are the two things He did? Nope. Not one sick person was healed while Christ was dying upon the cross. But He did bring salvation unto a man, just like me and you, a dying thief, a sinner. It's in Hebrews 9, verse number 15. I want somebody to stand up nice and loud and read it. And then I want you to tell me, if you can, what are the two things He did in the text? These are the two blessings of the presence and blood of Christ. And it takes care of all of my needs. Anybody want to read that?
Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. I say, because He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of the for the redemption of the transgression, that were under the Old Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance.
I see it so clearly. Anybody else see it?
For this reason, Christ is the mediator of the New Covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance, now that He has died as a ransom to set them free from the sin committed under the first covenant.
There we go. There are two things in that text. Tell them to me. What did He do by His blood? What's He the mediator for? The job of the mediator is it me and you were having beef? And then the mediator comes and says, let us make peace. And so Jesus Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, that by the means of death, He did two things in that text. That's one. He set us free from sin by taking the curse upon Himself.
Did you know that that's why Jesus Christ has died? He died upon the cross because God is too holy to tolerate sin. So he took our sin upon himself. And he became us in the sight of God. If you believe this gospel, it is your sin that was on that cross. And that's why Jesus had to die. He did not die because man put him to death. The eternal God made his soul an offering for sin. He had to pay the ransom. He had to pay the sin debt. He had to pay for our crimes, our rebellion, our unbelief, our wickedness, our sin. That's why he was hated by God upon that cross when he died. Because he was made our substitute. And the wrath of God was being poured upon him. That anger against us. Now, he still loved him as his only son, even while he punished him as our sin. The wrath of God came on Christ in full. And the Bible says he spared not his own son. That means as we went, it was time to take a whoop. It wasn't no mom who came in and said, okay, Father, that's enough. No. It was the Father on the Son punishing and tormenting until the sin was all gone. Do you remember that flood in the days of Noah? And how it beat and the waters came up from in the earth and from heaven and swallowed up these people until it covered up the highest mountain? And the ark took that beating, and Noah and his family were safe on the inside. That's faith in Christ. Sister, totally safe from the wrath of God because it struck Jesus Christ. No man is worthy to preach that. No man is worthy to even speak his name, except that was done in our place. And the holiness of God can never punish the same sin twice. I got a beating as a child. I got plenty of them. I was a hard-headed child. And I had some problems at home. But it was one time I got a beating, I think I had taking my report card and I hid it or something like that. I don't remember the offense. But I got a beating at night and then in the morning I was awoken out of my bed with another beating. And you know what I said? That's not fair. I paid for all that last night. But the response came back, I don't care if it's fair. I'm not finished with you. I tell you something about God. If you and I, if we would just trust Christ, God has already paid, already poured it out for. He'll never shed another drop on you. He'll never punish you if your faith is in Christ. He cannot use you. He's holy and just. He punishes his son. But there's another thing that's in that text I want to hear. Eternal life. Please.
Eternal life.
That's the gospel. The eternal God is so good. Not only would he give his son to die for our sins, but he would, by this death, earn every blessing. We never have to earn a blessing from God.
Lord Jesus Christ has earned heaven. In 100 trillion, quinbillion years, I'll still be enjoying things that the blood of Christ alone has died for me. It's all Christ. In Christ alone. And if you add anything on the cross, you're without Christ. You see, the Christ is all, or I'm on my own. And that's what he said as you please turn back into Galatians 4. It's my last point, a very brief conclusion. It's the warning of our text. You who are trying to be justified by the law or alienated from Christ, you have fallen from grace. What does it mean to fall from grace? A little brief conclusion and I'll be done. To fall from grace is something I've been saying over and over, but you're on your own. You gotta be good enough. And when you fall from grace, you're going to be judged by God, both now in your conscience and in eternity, if you don't repent by how good you are. Let me ask you a question. Are you good enough to stand in front of God, yourself, at any time? Is there anything you've ever done that you want to present unto God and say, here's why I'm worthy, on top of trusting in Jesus Christ? You got any merit at all? I've got none. And if you think that you do, I'm going to tell you what happens when you fall from grace. He comes to get you in your conscience. Now I know that we can fool people and we can be fooled, but in the light of true preaching, in the light of the true man of God, in the light of God's Word, all you'll see is spots and blemishes. There was a woman the Scripture talks about in the book of Mark 5 who had an issue of blood out of her uterus. Everything that she did was filthy. Everybody she touched is unclean. There's no love. Every act of service, every naira that she gave unto God, it was unacceptable. It wasn't pure enough in God's sight. But Christ said, who touched me? Who trusted in me that I can make you righteous? You go in peace. Your faith has made you. So you're either unclean, no good, and unworthy because you're trusting in your filthy self, or you are totally righteous with God by faith in Christ with nothing happening. That's the only two conditions of everybody in this world. Which one are you? Where are you? Is your conscience clean and dirty? Are you happy because of Jesus Christ, or are you miserable and sad because of you? You looking at yourself to be good enough, or are you looking at Jesus Christ and have done it all? This is what I want as we conclude. I want you to be happy by believing on Christ and trusting Him. Listen to me. I'm not lying to you. If you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a right to peace with God. You have a right into His help, His strength.
you're righteous. He forgives your sin. You're righteous. He gives you power over sin. You're righteous. He'll make you able to live the Christian life from the inside. You got the power of the Holy Spirit instead of your muscles. I was trying so hard to live the Christian life until I heard that God was satisfied and I'm justified by faith. Now I got nothing else. Then power came from inside. It was not just a bunch of rules I had to do. It was love flowing up in my heart. I want you to be happy and lean on nobody else. Not mom or dad. That's the blessing of being orphans. You're right here to hear the gospel. And you know how untrustworthy this world is. Sister, but you got God. And nobody can give you more than that. You've got to live by faith in Christ. Lean on Him. Trust Him. Walk with Him. Look to Him for everything that you need physically in your soul. Be content with Him. He will satisfy your thirst. He'll give you peace. He'll make... Nothing can stop the soul that's leaning on Christ. You're an overcomer instead of falling from grace. Don't fall from grace. Don't ever go back to any of the messes. There's no hope. There's no hope in you. It's in Christ. And it's in Christ. Everybody say with me, please. Alone. It's in faith alone. In grace alone. In the scriptures alone. And to the glory of God alone. Let's close in prayer, please. If you all stand.
Amen.
Thank you.